Welcome to the Creative Entrepreneur Show. What do we have this week, Brian?
I am a June baby, and that's not the reason that I'm happy about Gemini. And also, I want to talk about Threads, and they are revolutionizing the hashtag game. Excited to talk about that. What do you have going on?
Interesting. Yeah. Well, a couple things I want to talk about, and this is the second topic first, is Google and social media. How do they work together? So in other words, how do you and I work together with different types of things? You know, how can that, our different strategies work together? So I want to talk about that because that's something that people can take and do or hire somebody to do. And then the other part is about partnerships. Should it be a 50-50 partnership? What's the best way to approach a partnership if you're a creative entrepreneur and you find somebody that you want to bring in or work with? How should you structure that? It can make a difference.
Nice. Very good. Yeah. I mean, we've seen the benefits of partnering together, just, you know, even ourselves. And I'm excited to hear what you have to say about that. And also with Google and social, tying them together. Because oftentimes, you know, when I am talking to a prospective client, I kind of sell us as a 1-2 punch and they work together. So excited to get your perspective on that. But yeah, I'll hop in. The big news in the world of AI right now is Gemini. That is the key word of the week. Gemini is Google's engine behind their AI. Now I know Google, everyone's like, hey, you know, Google already has Bard. We've already got AI. And you know, what's the difference here? And I want to chat today, and I'm going to lean on you and your AI knowledge for a good back and forth conversation on this. But, you know, as far as from what I know, Bard and ChatGPT, they're chat based AI.
Yeah. They're language models, language models.
Right. That's a good way to word it. And, you know, ChatGPT has other capabilities, but to be what they call multimodal, but that's, you know, through the use of plugins and some other ways of doing it to kind of cross, you know, not just language based. We're talking about image, audio, all sorts of other things where you're applying AI technology.
Right.
And that's where Google, and from what I'm, you know, I haven't played with it yet, but, you know, obviously it's just coming out right now, but Google.
Yeah, I don't think it's even available right now. They're just doing demos right now. What could come? Which is a point to talk about, but go ahead.
Yeah, its top level is certainly not available. They have three different levels. One that's based just for your smartphone. That one is, they're rolling that out. They've got the main level and then they've got Pro. And actually, I think their main level is called Pro. I apologize. We can actually, let's.
No. Well, did you see any kind of pricing on that?
I did not see pricing yet, but they are, nothing on this mentioned that yet. Ultra is the main top of the line model. That's the word. There's going to be Nano, Pro, and Ultra. So, but with Ultra, you know, and they're saying, you know, within a month or so, they're just doing some final testing on it and they're going to start rolling it out, but it's truly multimodal, meaning this brain is thinking about complex multitasking things that are not just language, we're involving sound, image, very, very complex tasks. And it's outperforming on benchmark testing.
But 30 out of 32 or something like that, 31 out of 32. Yeah, absolutely.
And some of these numbers are significant, how much better. And this isn't, you know, ChatGPT 3 or 3.5. This is full GPT 4. So, this is going to shake up things and, it's very exciting. What have you heard on your end about it?
Well, I was just talking about it with a friend yesterday and he said he had watched some of the videos. Now you have to remember when you're watching these videos, these are the things that worked really well. That's what they're showing you. You know, you get someone like me that's going to start tinkering and I'm going to break stuff, you know, or find out what doesn't work well. But one of the discussions that really had some interesting depth to it was I've not seen the video, but he described it as how they have a car pointed downhill and one is like a box car and one's like a roundy car. And they're just two like base drawings and just asked which one's going to go down the hill faster. So it had to recognize that one, it was a car and how it was shaped and that it was pointed down. And I mean, all these things, just reading. Now we know that they've had this for a while because we use some of the tools for photos as well as video to help us understand we can upload these, say, a banner to a website for SEO purposes. And it's been really good because we can upload this banner to the AI in Google. And we've been doing this for years. And it'll tell us what it sees.
Right.
And that's very helpful.
It accordingly, right.
Yeah. Because if you're selling flowers and the banner says healthcare, there's a disconnect.
Right.
And so sometimes you have to really understand that Google is looking at all those elements in some way to help it understand what that page is all about. And so that's just an extension of that. And just kind of, I think, supercharging it. So it's really interesting. It's gonna be a lot really interesting. I mean, we've just been through this first year of kind of public AI is really the way I look at it, you know, where everybody has access, not just geeks like me and you, you know, over the last number of years. And now we can, you know, we're going to see this year two, what happens. And I think it's going to be supercharged well beyond what we just saw in this first year.
Yeah, the evolution of this is going to be unlike anything we've really seen because it's powered by itself. And that, you know, that leads to the fears of it as well. But I mean, if you think about even that example you just gave of, you know, something simple of a car being driven, you know, drawn out and, you know, hey, which one's going to go faster? Our brains, you know, us being human, we can easily go through, yes, we drew a car. Yes, that one's not going to be as aerodynamic. We could apply these physics that we've understood. And we've always, you know, kind of taken that for granted that this is the way our brain works. But forever, computer programming has always been, not, I don't want to say always, but it's for the most part been, you ask it a simple question and it gives a simple answer and it stays along its programming lane. Now with technology like Gemini, it's allowing technology to answer like our brain answers, where it's considering so many factors at once on something, you know, it might be a simple question, but it's very impressive that the computer is able to think like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. Very looking forward to seeing what happens through the year.
Well, speaking of Google, you want to talk about how Google and social media are tied together. And I, for one, I'm on the edge of my seat. What do you got?
So, well, one of the things that, you know, obviously finding good audiences, Facebook is really good at developing and finding audiences and growing a community to developing yourself as an expert. But once they trust you, they'll often go to your website directly. And once they go to the website, well, then that comes into, you know, my little world, because once they're there, you obviously have the pixel and can continue to retarget those people if you have a pixel, Facebook metapixel in the website. But we also have one too, and we can serve ads based off of interests and things like that in other places beyond Facebook and Instagram. So if they're on CNN, you know, or their favorite blog or YouTube, we can share ads based off of them coming to your website. It's kind of like a email list. And so that's remarketing and retargeting. So they all work together. And that's really what I wanted to talk about in that sense that, look, you know, one can benefit the other and it can go the other way. We can drive people to the website and then your pixel will pick it up and you can start advertising them in Instagram and Facebook and other platforms that you use socially. And so these do all work together, and it's good to have a nice, well-rounded approach to all this, knowing that just because it's Google doesn't mean it's not going to help your social, and just because it's social doesn't mean it's not going to help your Google.
Great way to put that, and it really helps when, again, you know, like I talked about the opening of this, when I talk to prospective clients and I mention my company services on the social side, I always try to tie it hand in hand with the pay-per-click, you know, Google side of it. And, you know, we'll often get people to say, well, you know, it sounds like it's two separate things. How do you help? And, you know, one of the main things that I can promise with what we do is on the very surface level is brand awareness. Yes, we're going to get the post seen. We're going to get reach and impressions. But we're also going to generate website traffic. I can always guarantee that. I know I'm typically around 50 cents a click. I've been as cheap as 5 cents a click, you know, on some where things really go well. But not just getting people to that website it's important, not because they're just going to go to that website and buy your product right away, which, hey, when that happens, wonderful. That's, you know, that's a win. That's, you know, that's an 80 yard touchdown down the field. But sometimes you got to move the ball down the field, step play by play. And sometimes the first play is me getting them to the website from social. They would have never heard of your company, but a well-placed ad at least gets them there. And now they're in the top of our funnel.
Right.
And then we push them down the field.
Yep, absolutely. In SEO, I mean, that traffic from social, especially when it's social that's public, like a Facebook page, that can be indexed or at least crawled, anything that's public, you know, LinkedIn even, some of the stuff there is crawlable and people can find some of your stuff on LinkedIn and so forth, even Twitter or X. So that stuff helps SEO too. It's not as strong as it used to be, not at all. Is powerful of a signal as it used to be coming from social, but it does still play a part of the overall SEO game. And so it's important to know that they do work together, and then people who find your site via SEO in Google, and they go there and then they see that button. Oh, they have a Facebook page. That's where I like to connect with clients. Or, oh, they have Instagram. That's where I like to keep track. So they'll go through, and then you keeping that updated and relevant and not dormant for 3 years, like the last post was 2019. Right. And, you know, that makes a difference, because they know that you are still active and relevant and not going to go somewhere else. Because people will judge a company based off if they've had their last posts. And if they see a company that has been posting regularly, oh, active company. Oh, no post since 2019. Not active company. I'll go with the active company. I've done it, and I know people do that all the time. And a lot of times it's very subconscious.
Yeah. And I'll often fortify our services that we sell with that logic. I'll let people know that, hey, you know, there's intrinsic value to this that might not be measured right by the click-through rate or the conversion rate. There's other values in doing this. And that's why, even at the base level for brand awareness and, you know, just showing that you're, like you said, an active current company, it's important to be consistently posting with quality.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. What do you got next, Brian?
All right. So we haven't talked about Threads in a little bit. And a lot of these social media companies are starting to put things in place to squash the scammers. You know, somebody who gets 15 to 30 spam messages through the different clients we handle on Facebook every day. We're getting tired of the spammers on social, and they, you know, they're an issue. We talked a few weeks back about how Elon with X was wanting to charge people like 5 cents to start a page. But you keep this low, that way somebody can't go and open 1,000 pages in a day with a spam program.
Right, right.
So what Threads is doing is they're changing the hashtag game away from spammers. So spammers realized that they could just copy and paste a chunk of relevant hashtags and all of a sudden end up on the top of these hashtag lists. Because when you go to Instagram or any of the pages that, you know, hashtags are pretty popular, you click a hashtag and it comes up chronologically, not based on popularity.
Oh, yeah, right.
So these spammers were like, hey, let me just use the relevant hashtag and boom, here I am, top of the list. And if I use 40 relevant hashtags, then I'm on the top of 40 list with my spam post.
Right.
So what Threads has done to introduce the concept of searchable hashtags, but to eliminate the spammers from ruining it, is they've gotten rid of the hash. They're just tags.
Oh, okay.
So they just call them tags. Now, what happens is when you go to put in your post and you type in Threads, you will see some logos underneath. And one of them is that, you know, traditional hashtag or, you know, the money symbol or the, I'm sorry, not money, the number symbol as we've known it for forever.
Yep.
And you can start typing in what your tag's going to be. And what's cool about this is it'll show you how popular each one of those tags are. We're used to this for years on TikTok and Instagram. When we type a hashtag, we see how popular it is. We can do multi-words, so it can be a sentence or a phrase. You know, book of the year can be your tag. Book of the year, four different words, but it's one tag.
Right.
And then it's searchable that way. Now, when you do these searches, they are not going to be chronological. They're going to be based on popularity and relevance.
Okay.
That's their way of making sure that the spammers don't and the scammers don't end up on the top of these lists. And here's one of the other caveats, Rosh, only one per post.
Ah, okay.
One per post. So you need to think about what your tag is going to be and how to get it out there and be relevant. Because if you think about a scammer goes in there, you got your chunk of 40 hashtags you put in to try to, you know, cover as many things. It's a copy paste. It's simple. And lastly, you actually have to do it on the app. You can't copy and paste somebody else's and that tag won't transfer to the new post. You have to physically type and click that hashtag, type what your tag is and select it from the list for it to be a part of your post. Right. So, you know, these are efforts that I see social media companies making to avoid the pitfalls of the scammers and everything like that. And to bring some of these functionalities that maybe have gone by the wayside back. You know, hashtags haven't been as popular the last few years because, you know, scammers breaking things. You know, this is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of principle. So
scammers, marketers, you know.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So we, you know, we're keeping an eye on these things. And, you know, it's our job in this podcast here to talk to the people, bring it out there and let them know about these changes and why they're relevant, why they're important. Am I on Threads yet? No, Rosh, I'm not. But I'm watching.
I have Threads, but I, you know, day two, I was done. So but I don't know what's happening over there.
I wasn't a big Twitter or X user either. So again, it's not really my lane. Am I going to pay attention to it? Of course I will, because, you know, I'm a social media expert, but yeah, I'm not on it myself personally.
Yeah.
So.
A lot of it, I think, you know, these days really, you know, video, it's just video. Is so important and where you are and what you're doing with video, where you're placing it. You know, YouTube is still huge and it's going to continue to be big. TikTok, of course, and all that. So, you know, you really don't have to be on all of them anymore. But for some, LinkedIn is perfect. That's just where I have a friend and she does great with LinkedIn and has tons of relationships. Well-known people know her, make note of her. Because of her LinkedIn presence and, you know, other people, it's pages and groups. You talked about groups last week and groups can be huge if you do it right. So Instagram, all that, you know, YouTube and TikTok, I think they all have their place, but you have to know who your audience is. And once you have a good sense of who your audience is, you can start building your there. And hey, if you do well in one, you can spin off to another one for safety. To build something, because again, one could go down, you know, and at least you still have a following on the other.
Perfect. Well, yeah, you don't want to have all your eggs in one basket. Well, back, you know, here to your last topic of the day, talking about partnerships. And I know, you know, personally, we just got off of a Zoom call a little bit ago with a bunch of other, you know, potential marketing partners, people that are what I like to say marketing adjacent to us.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, in our situation, we're business partners, we're company partners, but you own your company, I own my company. So what I'm talking about very specifically, and partnerships are really powerful, as like ours in the group chat we just had with those other partners who have different skills that we come together, we become more powerful as a group. But sometimes you're more powerful or that potential if you bring in a partner within your company. And here's the thing. A lot of times people go in 50-50 partnerships. Don't do that. Don't do that. Somebody needs to be 51%. You can act 50-50. You can build, but somebody has to be that 51% in the final word. And somebody needs to take that responsibility for the buck stops here in a sense. Mm-hmm. Because if you have just pure 50-50, a lot of the legal issues can come up and make the whole process really tough to get through because you both have equal say. But when if someone officially has that extra percentage say, it actually clears up a lot of the legal stuff. You may not always be happy if things go wrong, mm-hmm. if you're the 49, but at least it's not going to be dragged out forever. You know, there is an understanding And again, different partnerships. If you have a good relationship and work together and treat each other 50-50, that's just kind of a on the contract kind of a thing that you just you put aside and you probably forgot about, but it's there. I bring this up just because I've seen this a number of times where people they have good intentions and want to work together and decide to form some kind of a partnership and say, hey, we're going together. It can just be so horribly wrong in the end when you don't do that. So kind of a legal thing, but I thought I'd throw that out there because a lot of creative entrepreneurs will find themselves in that situation and have not thought that part through or even heard of such a thing. And so I thought putting that out there might be valuable.
Agreed. And it's really good information again for the creative entrepreneur because you know we're talking to people who you know use the creative part of their brain more. So they might not pay as much attention to the business side of their brain. And you know, you mentioned something really important in this, Rosh, and that is in the contract.
Yeah.
And you know, that's my biggest advice is when you're, you know, getting into a partnership like this, seek legal counsel. Get stuff written down and confirmed. Don't just assume, hey, we're buddies, we'll work it out. Because nothing can ruin a friendship or anything like that than business decisions, dollars and cents.
Right.
You know, I think back to, you know, graduating high school and looking at colleges and stuff. And, you know, everyone's always like, don't dorm with your best friend. And it's like, why? Why would you think that? But it's because, you know, oftentimes, sometimes the best friendships are the ones that can break apart the worst because there's feelings involved. Whereas if it's a business relationship and there's a contract, you're able to eliminate those feelings and the, you know, the personal relationship of it and make it so you work together better. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, we work great because I don't like you at all.
So, exactly. You know, so, you know, if you disappear tomorrow.
Yeah. Whatever.
No, it'd be very lonely on this podcast.
Oh my. So yeah, no, that's great advice. And yeah, and if it's handled the right way, then boom, you guys can be, you know, partnership can be stronger than any individual could be, you know, most of the time.
Oh yeah. You know? And I mean, that's why we're getting together with the other mm-hmm. companies. I mean, because now we have more feelers out there, more eyeballs looking in different directions, knowing that we can all work together in different ways. And it's good to put that kind of stuff together. So that's cool. Yeah. All right. So I think that's our show. Hey, if you are interested in being a part of the show, head on over to creativeentrepreneurshow.com. You can ask us questions, inquire about our companies, of course. And if you know somebody who wants to be on the show, if you're a booking agent of some sort, we're open. We're right now working at about one guest a month, but we could certainly increase that if we feel like the guests that are appropriate for the show start to increase, and we are excited about bringing them on. So, hey, we have control over these things, Brian. It's totally, totally up to us.
We're in charge, buddy. We've got a couple more episodes here through the end of the year. A reminder to our audience, we are going to take a little bit of a break last couple weeks of the month and then come back even stronger in the new year with some fresh ideas. Like you said, I think we're booked into March. I think we're trying to line up March right now. We're thinking April. So again, you know, any and all inquiries, we'll take them. And if there's any topics, anybody wants anything covered by us, we'll be more than happy to do that as well.
Yeah. Hey, last week we said this week would be the last show of the year. Are we doing one more?
One more.
We're going to do one more. Okay. We'll do one more.
Next
for those
week.
Of you who listened last week and said, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I thought I had a break from you guys.
So, I mean, anyone can take a break at any time, but we don't, you know, we don't encourage that.
All right. All right, everyone. You have a great week. We'll talk to you next week on the Creative Entrepreneur Show.